back to Hinton in the house, you know? We doing this like Mad Ball Records, you know?
Hey, this is Pirate Nick.
And Tiffany the Lass.
And we're here with Treasure Mammal.
Hi. Hello.
So, Abe, Treasure Mammal, you are Treasure Mammal. Explain to everybody what exactly the show is about.
A Treasure Mammal show is interactive, can be harsh at times, but it's definitely welcoming. It's presenting a different mind frame for live acts, I guess. Just having a sampler and a mic, it's pretty straightforward, and the crowd interaction is just so huge. But what they're getting is just a different taste, a different way of doing things. I think other people are starting to catch on and enjoy that without having the live band there. Because some people can get easily offended just by somebody yelling into a mic and having some beats on a sampler or whatever and presenting in a different way. It throws people off guard, I think.
What was it like when you were thinking about doing it in the beginning? It is a very naked show. It's you, and you press a button and it's just you. There's no one to fall back on.
Yeah.
What was that like when you first started doing it?
Well, because when Treasure Mammal first started, it was a duo. It was I don't know, like a rock and roll outfit or something. But it was this with this fellow by the name of Nicholas Kroll, who played drums and I played guitar. But it was also still electronic bass. He had like an electronic drum pad, and I had a guitar and the sampler that I use now. So it was all still sample based, but he. Got an offer from Cornell University to study there. So then he's like, well, I've got to go do this. So I'll see you later. And I was like, oh, I've started so many projects and I'm tired of, finishing one after another after putting so much work. So it's like, I'm just going to stick with this one, do it on my own. And whoever wants to come along can come along. But, it's my deal. So
sometimes you have other people playing with you.
Yeah. Definitely in the last year, I've had tons of people play with me. My musical background, I guess, is more on the noise, improvisational noise aspect of music. So that's the way I started. That was my first band, Paper Tiger Trio, which was a noise band out in Phoenix. And
is noise a recognized genre?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I think so.
So,
there's definitely a lot of facets to it, and of course, it's all kind of up to the individual of what they actually think is noise, obviously, yeah. In the last year I've had, tons of great, great musicians play with me. When I played at the Il Corral at the Turn the Screws Noise Fest, I had Andrew Thal playing on drums with me, who's a virtuoso violinist, actually, but is also just a great all-around musician and played drums. And another well-known noise LA artist, this guy Bob Bruno, who's just like produced a lot of LA bands and makes great stuff on his own too. Mm-hmm. So if you haven't heard Bob Bruno, check him out. And Andrew Thal also has a MySpace too, so you should check him out. Yeah. But also going back to that, yeah, just adding the live element to things, or just anything, any kind of like, noisemaker of anything that just adds, to the music, or maybe destroys it, or like I had a CD release show in Phoenix and there was like 10 or 12 people with single drums, and my friend Becky was on the sampler. what else was going on? There was a theremin going on too, a delayed theremin, and then the tracks that I always have. And you can imagine that it was just pretty jumbled.
Yeah.
But it made it great, you know, it made the chaotic parts even more chaotic just because everybody's just like, but then also when the rhythm would come together, it would be great, you know, because all of a sudden it would just take like this new entity. And going back and seeing that CD release show tape, it was like one thing was going on over here at this side of the PA and over here something totally different, which is great in my perception.
Yeah, you must love it when that kind of stuff happens.
Yeah.
Because you are very into the fact that you know you have the crowd participation and you definitely want that because, you know, I've seen your show and you... Mm-hmm. go out into the crowd mm-hmm. and you almost dare them to become part of your show, don't you?
Yeah, you know, it's I don't know, it's kind of less abrasive nowadays. I'm kind of doing more of a pop thing now, especially with the new record. It's more I want the lines to be less blurred, you know. I don't want to like have, you know, crazy static and just, you know, I guess this new record's going to be less abrasive.
And when's your new record going to come out?
It'll probably come out at late March, early April.
Oh, wow.
And since I got signed to that label, Dreamy Draw Records. From Ryan Page, who directed and produced the Moog documentary, and Chris Pomeranicki. From another great Phoenix band called Less Pain Forever. So I'm excited about that.
Great.
Now, this is an audio podcast, but we are sitting here with
Randall,
a large white unicorn. So why don't you tell us how Randall fits into the equation?
Well, Randall fits in very well into the equation. He,
Who is Randall, first of all,
Randall,
for those of all that can't see?
Randall is a unicorn, a bearded unicorn, and he's the size, a little bit bigger than your average dog, I guess. Mm-hmm. And he was given to me by my friend Jessica for Christmas, and I never technically got my diploma from Arizona State University, and I'm a fine arts major with an emphasis on photography, so I never did my senior exhibition. So what I'm doing is I'm trying to put it all together and basically spend a whole month with Randall the unicorn, take him wherever I go, take him on my tours, take him to the shows, take him to dinner, blah blah blah, and then document
your mother's birthday.
Yes, to my mother's birthday, to Christmas dinner with my father, to the show tonight here at the Whistle Stop in San Diego, and I don't know, see what happens with it. But I'm going to document every day with photographs and maybe some videos here and there. And when the album comes out, I have a song called Unicorn 2 that's going to be out on the new record. And when I have my CD release show in Phoenix, I'll exhibit this my senior exhibition, quote unquote.
Okay. How many years ago was that due?
A year and a half ago.
Oh, not
bad. But I think it's great, though, because I got really excited about it. I had this other project in mind. And I was just like, God, I've just been doing this other one for, you know, 2 years, and I don't really want to do that anymore. This one's kind of goofier, and it's more involved, and, you know, I'm just taking them around with me and seeing how people react. And it's kind of, you know, a performance art thing, which I'm, you know, I'm used to.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I just think it'll be great to, like, release a record and then also have, like, this other little facet come out, you know, this multimedia thing. Uh-huh. I guess
along the same lines, one of the big visual parts of your show is the attire. Now why don't you explain to everybody the kind of things you wear when you have your show, and you know, how did that come about? How did you decide on the outfits that you wear?
How did I decide on the outfits? A lot of stuff was just given to me. I would just wear goofy stuff just to kind of almost make myself look so horrible that eventually, over time, I would be comfortable in any situation, like bringing a unicorn out. And I don't know. I always think about this when I think about like really great performers, you know, that you go out and you play your guitar or your fiddle or whatever the heck you play, but you're creating your environment and that the other people around you have to just kind of adapt to that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Well, why don't you explain some of the outfits that you tend to wear?
The outfits that I've humiliated myself with throughout the years. I have a spandex Speedo jumpsuit that I wore last time that a bobsledder might wear as a skier. I've been known to wear lots of short shorts, fluorescent short shorts, Rocky IV sleeveless shirts. One of my favorite sleeveless shirts that says shit happens on it. I'm pretty happy about that one. I have these shoes that I'm actually going to wear tonight that I don't even know what. They're probably for working out your calves, but anyways, they look like regular old, like, beat-up Reebok tennis shoes, like, in the early 90s, late 80s or something. Uh-huh. And then in the front of it is, like, some, like, type of a wedge, I guess, that takes up half the shoe, and it's there's like a little stump coming out of the shoe, out of the bottom of the sole, and then there's this wedge that's part of the shoe, and I guess it was to work out like your calves or whatever, and the brand of the shoe is called Strength.
Yeah, like a medicine ball for the feet.
Yeah, kind of.
And where'd you find those?
They were actually given to me. Some people, you know what I do, so they'll be like, oh, you know, I found this, and I'll give it to Abe from Treasure Ramble or whatever. But I've worn, like monkey suits and stuff. I did that when I first had the drummer. Like, I would wear a monkey suit, he'd wear, like, a cat suit. Mm-hmm. I've worn in, like, I had, like, this old granny, like, blue jean jumpsuit with, like, fake diamonds on it and stuff. I've even worn lingerie. I'm pretty embarrassed. That's kind of horrible, but yeah. So I don't know if there's any other more notable ones.
On your MySpace page, I noticed a new friend, and they're called Total Winner Junior, or
Total. Yeah, they're Total Winners.
Who are they?
Well, they were
have a song called Total Winner, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird, because, I don't know, there's, like, three other people on my friends list that I don't even know. Well, that group I do know. They're, like, my former students, and they've started Treasure Mammal Jr., a.k.a. the Total Winners. Uh-huh. And, I don't know, like, I'll hang out with them every now and then, and we'll just make songs, kind of just make silly songs and improvise and just... I don't know, I think it's great just to kind of be with kids and just let them know that they can do anything and sing about kind of inappropriate stuff. Not too bad stuff, but, you know, to tell them let them know that it's okay to push the boundaries, you know, and that you can do this, and, you know, maybe hopefully they'll start something better than I will, you know.
So you mentioned Total Winner, and that was on your current album, Expect mm-hmm. the Max.
Right.
Now, that's one of your featured songs. Explain how that came to be and what the motivation is behind that.
Well, actually, I was just with living in some studio apartment with my girlfriend at the time in Phoenix, in downtown Phoenix. And I don't know, she was just really depressed and down. Like, I think she just lost her job and, like, didn't know what to do with her life and... I don't know, she was always kind of on the downside of things, so I'm pretty positive, you know, just naturally, but then with this person, you know, I would really just try to, you know, help them out and, I don't know, just make her happy or something by being super positive or whatever. So I wrote this song to cheer her up, basically, and to... empower her and empower the people, you know.
This song is a journey of 1,000 miles and becoming a total winner. You have taken taken the first step. Are you ready to become total winners? I am. Let's go.
So how do you construct your songs?
Well, for Expect the Max, it was kind of more of a collage type thing. Like, I thought about it like more of a visual arts, sound arts thing, where I would like collect a lot of samples and then stuff that I've made and just kind of put them all together.
Losers let it happen. Winners make it happen. Let it happen. It is difficult to even see the mountains with a poor memory. With a mediocre memory, we can at least stand back and look at the mountains. But with a total winner memory, we can not only see the mountains, we can move mountains. We can move mountains.
I also think about it kind of like in a mathematical kind of way, you know, like I'd have all these different parts of things and I'd like basically have like this huge problem, you know, like I have all these sounds. What do I do with them? How many times do I do this? How many times do I put this there, you know? Where's the chorus? Blah, blah, blah. And slowly but surely, you know, just going over and over it, that it would just solve itself, you know. But now I'll have like a sequence that I'll make on like my Casio or on my computer and take it to the studio, record something super stripped down on it and have like a rough sketch of the lyrics, and then I'll play it out several times and I'll freestyle with it, see what feels right, and then I'll take it back to the studio. Whatever felt right when I was doing it live, I'll put in the studio, and then I'll put like live, you know, guitar, you know, whatever I think is appropriate at the time, you know, like a live, you know, guitar or drums or...
So less, you know. Will we expect less samples on the new album?
Yeah, I'm going to try to have, especially just being a, I don't know, that we talked about making a lot of albums, you know, pressing quite a few, maybe even like 10,000 or something. Wow. So, yeah, I don't really want any trouble with copyright or whatever.
About that.
So, or I could use them, but you know, make them undistinguishable. Mm-hmm. So,
and what would be your ultimate gig?
I don't know. I just like playing the gigs that I do now. As far as ultimate gig, I don't know. I think the Apollo would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. I always love playing places where I'm not supposed to play and everybody hates me and then win them over. I think that's great.
Oh, great.
You tour around, but, you know, where's your home base? Where's your base of operations?
Base of operations? Well, it's in Phoenix, Arizona. And things in Phoenix, the music scene is really, really thriving right now. There's a lot of really, really great bands like Color Store, the Mini Bosses, Asleep in the Sea, Andrew Jackson Jihad, who I'm going to be going on tour with. And yeah, just things are really thriving right now. So it's great. You know, I mean, I don't even have to flyer for my gigs anymore. And usually, mm-hmm. like, I'm like, 50 to 60 people show up and know all the words and stuff, so that's okay,
that's,
you know,
great.
That's all right.
And when you do leave Phoenix, where are some of your favorite places to play?
Where are some of my favorite places to play? I like the Il Corral in Los Angeles. Of course, I like the Whistle Stops, I can tell you here. That's great. The smell is good in Los Angeles. Where else?
You've been kicked out of a few places too, right? Where was that?
Yeah. Where have I been kicked out of? I've been kicked out of places in Phoenix. Just, you know, I don't even remember the name of it. It was like 2 years ago too, so it was a while back.
So what kind of music are you listening to right now?
What kind of music am I listening to right now? I've been listening to a lot of hip-hop lately. I really like the new Lupe Fiasco record. I love this guy from L.A. called Ariel Pink. Ariel Pink's Haunted Graffiti. He does kind of like an AM radio pop kind of thing. I love that right now.
Cool.
So, yeah, lots of stuff. Who else? Lupe Fiasco, Ariel Pink, Common, the rapper from Chicago. I really like him a lot. And the new Jay-Z albums are really, really good. I really like that a lot. Yeah, it's a lot of hip-hop stuff, which is kind of, I don't know. I haven't done that, really.
Well, Abe, Treasure Mammal, thanks for taking some time with us.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. And we like to end the interview with the best pirate impression that you can give us here.
And Randall.
Yes,
and
Randall. Too.
Arr, shiver me timbers when you're with Pirate Pods.
Thanks.
All right, Abe, thanks.
Bye.
Girl, put your panties on. There's Jesus at the door.
Fluorescent oceans of pleasure. When I say terrorist, you say treasure. Fluorescent oceans of pleasure. When I say plagiarist, you say mammal. Terrorist. Treasure.